We're now into the 11th hour of Counterspin Media's 12-hour Truthathon. In part 16, TNT radio host Johnny Vedmore is an investigative journalist deep dark diving into Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, Jeffrey Epstein, and more.
Throughout history, the struggle between good and evil has been ever present, from biblical tales to modern times. Today, the New World Order symbolizes the latest manifestation of darkness, epitomized by the Great Reset. However, humanity's great awakening signals our united stand against this malevolence. We are destined to triumph over evil. And now, Counterspin Media is unveiling the Great Awakening and resisting the Great Reset in this 12-hour truthathon titled Conquering Darkness, heralding humanity's triumph over the New World Order.
We are back with myself. I've just been abandoned by Hannah, so she's left me here with Johnny Vedmore, which is good. This could be a bloke talk, you know what I mean? We can just get wild now. We don't have to mind our P's and Q's. Not that I ever do anyway.
The amount of times I get kicked under the table,
frightening. So Johnny, of course, has officially joined the roster of the TNT radio alongside other top journalists. His show, the Johnny Vedmore Show. Is it Vedmore right? Want to pronounce it properly?
Yeah, Vedmore, man. Vedmore.
Very good. It airs every Wednesday between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. GMT. In this program, Johnny dissects the madness of mainstream media, which we will get into, using context, history, and facts, like we are. We're just facts and evidence. An insightful analysis and commitment to uncovering truth made a show a must-listen for those seeking a deep understanding of current events. You can tune into TNT Radio and Johnny Vedmore in action. So there's got a lot of other stuff here as well, but you can give your credentials on where to find you at the end after we do our little spiel. And the first thing we'll do is we will attack mainstream media because they love attacking us. So we're just going to air their dirty laundry, let's say. So what drove you away? What drove you to do exactly what you're doing now? Because for us, it was about looking around. There's no one actually. There was no one at the time. There was a few people, but there's no one at the time with any real reach who were uncovering the truth, and not so much uncovering, just bringing the facts and evidence to people to say, look, this is what's actually happening. Call me what you like, but all we ask you to do is prove us wrong. And usually in their hatred for us, they will bend over backwards to try and prove us wrong. And in doing so, they realize that we're not. So then that sometimes changes a few minds, and then they go off and they think, shit. And then they start doing the same thing. Others, of course, are just closed-minded. You wouldn't be able to get through to them even if you had a bat, you know, in the side of the head. So what made you or drew you to do exactly what you're doing now?
No, man. Long story, you know, life was really hard, catches up with you. I had a hard life, lots of experience in my past, got to the point where I was very sad and in my mid-30s, and it was like about 2015, and I was like one way or the other, and I've gone one way. I've gone the way which was like, okay, I'm scared of everything. I know stuff that other people don't know. I wanna like not exist anymore, and the world is so dire and looks like it's only going to get more dire. So what should I do? Should I just end it, or should I go forward and find out why it's so dire? And so I became an investigative journalist, and I was already good at finding information no one else could find, going deep dark into like archives and sites. But since then, I've revealed massive things. I've worked for Unlimited Hangout, UK Column, other places. I was a guy who found out all of the history of Klaus Schwab, how no one knew who his dad was. I discovered his dad was working for a Nazi model company back in the day, making like central to the nuclear bomb program, the Nazi bomb program, and that Klaus Schwab himself went on and did basically the same thing with the same company for the South African apartheid bomb program. And then I discovered loads of other things. I got a really big catalog. I'm one of the main Epstein researchers in the world. But when it came up to this time, I was already ready, man. I was ready. I had been doing deep, dark dives and big articles since about probably 2016, 17. So as soon as it came into 2020, I knew exactly what was going on. I mean, most of us who were communicating knew exactly what was happening. I mean, the first 2 weeks, don't get me wrong, they can scare you. You know, the first 2 weeks, they'll make you think, oh, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to... Everybody felt like that. Wanted to mask up 17 times over when I first heard. And then I was working behind a reception desk at the time, and I was doing all my articles and investigating all of these nefarious people while I was checking guests in and stuff. And then some Domino's guy come in delivering pizza and sneezed in my mouth when COVID started. Literally sneezed. First time anyone's ever sneezed in my mouth. It was so intimate. And I was ill. I got ill really quick, and I thought, oh, this is it, this is the end, they've told me it's the end. And of course it wasn't the end, because it you know, if you've got an immune system that can handle it did make me want to give up smoking. So I gave up smoking cigarettes. I'll just say cigarettes. But then like, you know, then it was like, okay, I at this time I'm already starting to work for Unlimited Hangout. I'm starting to write investigative articles about high up intelligence assets. I'm ready to roll. This is full on. Let's get behind it. Let's understand what's going on. One of the first ones for COVID and for the COVID tyranny that I did a few articles about lockdown and the laws and stuff and what was happening. But really what I do is I go back into history, really far into history, and I make people understand the context of the time. That's what my work's all about. And I wrote a 15,000 word piece called The Welcome Five, which was about five of the main men who were behind the whole of the COVID tyranny and organized it, which includes Richard Sykes, who was the head of the UK Vaccine Task Force and was mentored to nearly all of these different people. Jeremy Farrar, of course, Fauci. You can see from the BuzzFeed emails that Fauci and Witte gave Jeremy Farrar right to do whatever he wanted during this period of time. Edward C. Holmes, who had originally recruited Jeremy Farrar into the fold. Neil Ferguson and Roy Anderson, who invented and pioneered computer modeling to be exactly what they wanted it to be. And of course, also were heavily involved in the 2001 foot and mouth crisis in the UK, which was a fix. You know, there was a load of scientists who were set up to handle something like that. By the time that people found out about it, it'd already been going on for a long time. It'd already been released much longer before. And the people who were put in charge then were two men. So I'm just like, I'm an adventurer, I'm a wanderer, I enjoy finding things no one else finds. And so once this was going, I was just like, come on, let's do it. So we've been doing it ever since, you know. That's what we do. I understand exactly what's coming. I've studied everything in the World Economic Forum's manifesto. I've gone through their training slides. If you go online to any of my YouTubes or anything, you can go through the 2010-11 training slides, about 9 of them in separate videos, probably over about 6-7 hour period, where you can learn everything, including how they manipulate you. They draw it on their own boards, puppets on a string. They say the power of manipulation. They say, you know, the power of persuasion is more than that. You know, they say truth does not matter. It's written on their own training slides. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly. So I'm here to just do what everybody else is doing at this point. You're either on one side or the other. You either can be co-opted or not. So yeah. I'm here. Yeah, that's what I do.
Dude, how much pushback have you had?
Loads, man. I have like with some of my articles, I have like people who follow me around, microtaskers who follow me around, and they apply to have things taken down from websites. I have like defamations, like accusations on YouTube, but that's from one specific Epstein associate who didn't like the fact that I outed a Nicole Yunkerman, who's now Countess Ferdinando Brachetti Peretti of the API oil family, married her. So she's quite big up. She was caught Epstein's plane a couple of times, and she tried to wipe me off the map at one point. So but they never never actually tackle me in court, because then I'm the gatherer of evidence. So it makes it really awkward, because if I got into a court, that would like open up loads of cans of worms all over the place, and these things would then enter into court records, and where would they take me on anyway? So Ali, my their route for me would only be like, you know, it's only one way they'd get rid of me.
Yeah. You're lucky Hillary Clinton and after you, otherwise she would say, you're looking a bit depressed, don't make me suicide you know.
Yeah, it'd be hard to make me look depressed, to be honest. I've got a bit of a sunny disposition. Yeah. No, I mean, I've done a load of research into the Epstein case. So, like, you know, you see Mark Middleton, he hung himself and shot himself with a shotgun in the chest at the same time. I mean, that says to you that the issues within their friends community, they're not very happy, and they're very good hanging themselves and shooting themselves in the chest at the same time, which you know, Hillary Clinton and those guys, this is one thing that people got to understand. They're the old power. They're about to go. They're about to disappear. There's going to be no more Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and all of these people, and Joe Biden. Look at them. Look at how they look. Yeah. They look senile. They're gone. They're gone.
Some what's of them coming aren't next really the originals. Is something else. Yeah, some of them definitely don't look like the originals. I mean, look at Biden's ears. Joe Biden evolved. Separated earlobes, Joe Biden now connected. You don't grow your earlobe.
No, inwards, but they've been injecting him like unbelievably. I mean, I can't tell you who, if someone is still someone. What I can tell you is that all throughout his career, whether it be now or in the past, he's always like had his foot mainly in the intelligence community and mainly in the intelligence industry. So I come across Joe Biden in a few different investigations and in the past, and he was always a little bit dodgy. But I mean, all of these guys, you know what it is. You know what it is. Yeah. This is the intelligence agencies took over a long time ago. This is
long time.
Yeah, most countries. So I, you know, people say the last great president was JFK, but he was completely surrounded by intelligence assets who managed his every move. So I'm not sure I think the early 1900s that happened everywhere. You know,
yeah, for a long time here, our security intelligence service. when they updated their legislation or they needed more powers, you know, by creating some new bogeyman, what they didn't realize is that prior to any legislative change or input or new law that governs the intelligence agencies, they had to have prior CIA input before they could put it through Parliament. Because, like you say, our politicians are nothing. They're window dressing. They're puppets. They're toothless. They get instructed what to do, how to sell it, and bugger everyone else. But the intelligence agents, like I was saying previous on the show, they're the biggest arms dealers, the biggest child traffickers, and the biggest bloody drug pushers in the world. Yeah. I mean, these people are the ones who, if you've got a country that's full of gangs, the gangs that you find are raided on the news and that constantly are independents. The ones who seem to be protected, well, they're basically the street pushers for the drugs they're bringing in and sending out to the community. I mean, I know this stuff, you know, but people just seem to not put two and two together. They do not see the pattern. And because I come from that world, I know the playbook, and it's just so clear. And I tell you, when you're on the altar, boy, do they come after you with everything. Just like we were talking just before we come on about Wikipedia being the most unreliable source of information you can find. I mean, I often quip and have a bit of a joke and say, I go on Wikipedia just to see what I'm up to next, you know what I mean? Or see what other thing I've done or been accused of doing. So it's a source of humor for me, but people actually read this stuff and believe it. And then they tell somebody else, and then a lie becomes truth by way of repetition. And that's the annoying part. When you've got people you think are sensible, you think you're intelligent, they hear someone, and they go along to get along. They're, like I said, they're in a circle. They get influenced. They don't want to sort of be offside because they don't really know you. You're an outsider, so they'll rather just connect with their clique and attack you. And half the time they don't even know who you are, why they're attacking you. Have you got a Wikipedia page?
Me? No, they don't let me on Wikipedia. No, no, that would be really terrible because I'm an evidence-based journalist. I come with sources. I come with backup sources up the wazoo. With Wikipedia, I mean, when I started off working, my first big article got like 250,000 views basically overnight. It was about Theresa May's father and how he had worked with a serial killer who got away with over 130 murders in Britain called Dr. John Bodkin Adams. He was working in Eastbourne Hospital and he would give people a lethal injection after they signed him into their will. And he did that to over 130. This is well documented. This isn't like conspiracy. But he got off. He got off with murder. He got off with murder because he was having an affair with a guy called Lord Gwynne. And I found that information out from going into the Wikipedia edits. Well, I started on that trail because I went on the Wikipedia edits and I discovered that they had taken out Hubert Brazier's page. And I couldn't understand why. So I went back to what Hubert Brazier's page was and I discovered where he worked at a certain point. And then I was like, oh, there you go. That's interesting. He worked here at this time. What was going on here and here and here? And boom, 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 boom. So you can find, you know, you have to use your sense. If they've got something like that, which is just, you know, supposed to be their version of the truth, you gotta look at how you can see how it was built, and then you'll find all of the lies that they've hidden away underneath. This is the same with a lot of things they build. They have to build it for the bottom up. This is why they want an internet 2.0, really. And it's not, you know, I want to say as well, is it happens in my own house too. You know, I was watching TV yesterday, and I was sitting down like relaxing, chilling, and I looked up and it's basically a Neuralink advert going on, and I'm like, why is my housemate watching the Neuralink advert? But it's dressed up as a documentary and it's not really, it's just an advert, and it's just getting you used to these sort of things over and over again, getting it in your mind, which is a bit of ironic with Neuralink. But people have to be given back logic and reasoning. That is the only way to get out of every crisis, is by people understanding when they see a fallacy, when someone is telling them something, and it shouldn't be believed for whatever reason, or when it's just someone presents you something like the Hegelian dialectic, you know, just gives you the antithesis of what you hate, and then you jump on board with that. You've got to be really careful. Like, everybody's got to be more discerning, but it's so easy to get tricked. Even the most intelligent can get tricked nowadays, and it's only going to get worse because we're going through a period where they're scraping up the online world, things, places like X Spaces and stuff, and they're scraping it up for AI. So they're scraping the data. So you've got Grok and Google AI just taking up all of that data and just churning it up. And eventually, it's going to be interesting. And very soon, eventually, I mean, like in the next 5 years, there'll be rooms like this full of screens and people, you know, with people talking, people waiting to come on, and there'll be bots. No one will know. No one will know that they're bots. Even the bots won't know they're bots, that the other people are bots. And there'll be some rooms which will just be full of just bots, just talking to each other.
And you're doing what every other guest has done. You are confirming the trajectory of how everything's going. Transhumanism, hooking them up to this AI god or world we're meant to live in. A crappy life. No one wants to live it, so they hook themselves up. It's like some sort of adrenaline rush, and next minute they're hooked. The Matrix, like we said, a documentary, not so much a bloody film. And we've, you know, the one thing you'll know as well, we've found out that almost everyone, bar none, of these cretins that are supposedly our leaders, they're all connected somewhere. Look at Jacinda Ardern, connected to Tony Blair, the war criminal, who helped completely eviscerate the UK. You look at Luxon, the guy we've got now, who, when he was asked a question about the World Economic Forum, because Jacinda Ardern was a puppet of the World Economic Forum, his answer was, oh, I don't know much about them. And he worked for Unilever for 15 years, for fuck's sake, and he And that's the one of the foundation partners of the World Economic Forum. You can't tell me after 15 years the guy didn't know. You know, it's all over their bloody website. So these are the type of people we have. And unfortunately, New Zealanders, by and large, buy the sales pitch each year. These politicians get elected. They go in, they make our life hell. Just before the next election, they come out and tell you how much you need them. And they offer you all of these bribes and all of these goods. And the goldfish memory kicks in. And all of a sudden, all is forgiven because tomorrow is going to be a better day. No one takes care of today. You only ever have today, because today will be yesterday tomorrow. You know, so what's, and of course, over there, speaking of Jacinda Ardern, I was going to go into the next bit because you brought in the Epstein stuff. We can tie all that stuff into the Metropolitan Police as well, and the massive scandals and pedophile rings that were operating out of there, like we had in New Zealand. And she was part of that in a particular capacity.
Have you
found that no matter, and it's always only the low-hanging fruit that ever gets thrown under the bus, the ones who are sort of like insignificant and only partial peripheral players, do you find that these people seem at this point to be completely untouchable because the judiciary covers for them, because the laws protect them, and the police are either reassigned if they're a good cop, reassigned or got rid of, or the whole thing just goes away?
Right. So I mean, my one of my points of expertise is that I discovered the funding behind the Young Global Leaders program, the history behind it, going back into the past. So you have to understand how sealed up the system is. And for that, you have to go back to 1950, 1951. You have to go back to the start of the international seminar, Kissinger's international seminar at Harvard, which was set up by Kissinger's mentor, William Yandell Elliott, who was an advisor to six different presidents and one of the most understated people in history of the world. And they were looking to create something that was basically the CIA had just been set up. So to service the CIA with taking over these countries so that they could stop the Soviets taking them over, they had to create the CIA into a coup machine. But what's the point of having a coup if you can't replace the leaders? So by 1950, 1951, they're setting up this leadership program in Harvard. And in 1952, 1953, they do their first CIA coups. You've got the coup in Egypt with King Farouk, and then the coup, Mohammed Mossadegh deck in 53, and they installed the first leader in Egypt, and of course he turned to the Soviets within about 5 years. So they had to really bump up the efforts, and out of the Kissinger's international seminar came Pierre Trudeau, came Klaus Schwab himself, came Valerie Destang and other different leaders from around the world. And it was the foundation of a leadership program, so they could seal up society, so the rest of it doesn't matter. You don't have a choice with police or anything or governments. Everything gets decided for you because they put their puppets in place. So this Kissinger's international seminar got outed as a CIA funded program in 1967 in a when Ramparts magazine was gonna bring it out, alongside the New York Times brought out an article too showing it was funded by three different CIA conduits. It meant it fell apart, but they started making new. Henry Kissinger's best friend, Guido Goldman, started making a new leadership course out of the German Marshall Fund, which also houses Hamilton 68, which is the thing that censors on Twitter. These are the leadership programs that come out of there are all over the place. These leaders are going into not only government positions, but they're also going into police positions, and they're going into the lower down positions. So you've got to understand, this is a network that's been built up. Then in 1992, 1993, it was clear that the World Economic Forum, the Soviet Union has fallen, the World Economic Forum can create the global, the forum for Global Eater, well, I can't remember what the original name was, but they basically Global Leaders for Tomorrow, and also there was a Russian program that had only three people that we ran at the same time, and one of them was Vladimir Putin. That's right. The first year of the Global Leaders for Tomorrow was Bill Gates was on there, of course, Tony Blair, Angela Merkel, Nicolas Sarkozy, you know, all of these, Viktor Orban, all of these big players who would come were all on the first year, really important year. But then eventually it reformed in 2004. And this is really important for people to understand how sealed up it is. It was reformed into the Forum for Young Global Leaders in 2004. And it was done that with a $1 million grant that was given to it by the Dan David Foundation as a prize to Schwab. And Schwab said, I'm going to make the Forum for Young Global Leaders and all of this. And who's on the Dan David Foundation's board? But Henry Kissinger, Klaus Schwab's best friend. So the Kissinger Continuum, I called it in my third piece. It just goes round in a circle. They created all of the leaders. They put them all into place. They created the leaders who would then create other places. So Guido Goldman, Kissinger's best friend, creating the German Marshall Fund, other things. That has 4 or 5 different leadership programs that run all around the world. And it's focused, for instance, on all of the states, including Ukraine, that surround Russia. So, you know, they have their targets. They know where they need to focus, but they are creating everything. All of that is now, it's a machine rolling, and they have got every part of society nailed up. If you are not in the club, you do not get a job, and you feel like you're just unlucky. You haven't managed to get up the ladder enough, but those places are sealed. They're for the special people, and you've got them in your government. We got them in our government. We know exactly. They're all young global leaders nowadays.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. Oh, look at that. Hannah's rematerialized from the ether.
Yeah, magically. Baby just needed me.
Yeah, we were just discussing about, mainstream media being a dog, intelligence agencies basically running the world, and the leadership programs organizing where to place everyone to ensure there was a circular, well, basically a world circle jerk, and which we can't participate in.
Yeah, they've got it all locked up pretty much, but we are coming for them.
Absolutely, we are. Mm. So what I want to do is, I want to have you on again for like a full hour. Or actually, we'll blow past that even, and we want to just take people on certain subjects from start to finish and start giving them a real history lesson, and not just because it's history past, it's because it's actually still here now and even stronger, because if we don't learn from that, we ain't going to get, you know, very far into the future within saving us, you know.
I was going to say just quickly, listen, you know, that's what I do. I bring people from start to finish. I try and understand context, but not only past, I understand present, I understand future. That's why I kind of learn these things, to try and understand what's going to go on. Some of the information is invaluable. It's invaluable to people.
Absolutely. So let's do that. It'd be good because, you know, we've spoken to James as well. He's a good man, part of the United Free Press, which we are as well.
James Freeman on TNT Radio.
Yep.
Yep. Yep, so he put us in touch with you, so we really thank him for that. And we thank you for coming on, Johnny. And
you're a treasure. Make sure you don't, you know, have Hillary come and
I got my shotgun, I got my noose, that's all I need.
don't make you kill yourself.
I'll be all right, my man. Thank you for having me on, both. Thank you for having me on.
No, I really appreciate that. Thanks, buddy.
Awesome. Have a good day. Cheers. See ya.
That's excellent.
I
would definitely want him on again for a much longer time.
Well, I have no idea out of control you would have been without me.
You missed it. You missed a bloody good one, actually, because people watching this now will be thinking, holy crap, you know, that's some info bombs right there. So we're going to be good, because with people like that, we're actually going to start bringing them in, and we're going to start giving them giving them some real intelligence. We're going to make a lot of people angry, I can tell you now.
You are watching Counterspin, New Zealand's media revolution. The platform where truth lives and the government and bought and paid for media lies come to die. Find us at counterspinmedia.com.
Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troubling, irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media
publish these stories simply aren't true without checking facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 But don't worry, because now we have Counterspin Media, who is clearly an extreme danger to this democracy-destroying Mockingbird media complex. Counterspin untangles these scripted narratives of lies and deceit. So to find out how to unspin these media lies, visit CounterspinMedia.com, where lies come to die.
Are you enjoying this 12-hour Truthathon presentation? Do you believe in the importance of Counterspin Media's mission to expose falsehoods and deliver evidence-based factual content? You see, never before in history has it been so important to support a media organisation that is fighting for your freedoms, fighting for your freedom of speech, but also who refuses to be influenced by false narratives. Your donation will help keep them independent, and it's very costly to make such quality content. Please look at their website. There's a number of ways that you can donate, and together we can combat false information. Because you see, at Counterspin is where lies die, but truth prevails.
Keep checking back on CounterspinMedia.com and look under the Videos tab for more videos from the Conquering Darkness Truthathon.
CounterspinMedia.com, where lies come to die.